This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday Sports Show. You may be wondering why you're hearing my voice and not Will's. That is because we did not get the Bucks result until today at around 2 o'clock, and I was actually free then, so I went and spent an hour and a half looking for them, and it was very difficult. So please appreciate that there's been a lot of time and effort in trying to find these results. They are all completely legit. So in this show, we'll be, as I said, discussing the Bucks result. We'll be touching on Mental Health Awareness Day, and we'll also be talking about Nottingham Forest and Notts County, but not their season, so we've done that a little bit. A little bit of interesting news, should we say, regarding them. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, because I haven't told the panel either, and I want to gauge their reaction. So I hope you're waiting.
Wait, looking forward to that.
With bating breath.
Also, SRA nominated.
Yeah, actually, we didn't mention that, did we? Yeah, the Thursday Sports Show is SRA nominated, so there's only six shows get SRA nominated in sports programming, and this is one of them. We also got nominated for View from the Stands, which is our Saturday football debate show from 2:30. And we also got nominated for
Varsity coverage
in
multiple
media platform and outside broadcasting. So it's all looking good on that front for URN. We actually got 13 nominations overall, including Best Station. So you're listening to possibly the best station, we find out.
Well, currently we are the best station.
Currently we are. Eight years out of nine, isn't it?
Yeah,
so, you know. And it could be 9 years out of 10. We'll find out in November, so stay tuned for that. In terms of the Bucks results, finally, they are here somewhat. And we start with Rugby League, which is probably not the place that most people would start, but it was a crushing victory, I think we'd say. 54-0 against the University of Birmingham. Interesting for this game, the kickoff was delayed because the ref was late. So that's always what you want at the first team level. The tries were scored by Kieran Dean, Chris Allen, George Witham, Will Cookson got two, Alessio, Kyle Windle, and Owain Donoghue, with pens coming from Ali Palmer. That's obviously a solid victory to start the season. And I'd just like to hear the panel's thoughts on their social media account, because that is where I found a reasonable amount of this information. They keep it very well up to date. And I'm not really sure how you would summarise their social media. How would you summarise their social media account?
It's quite funny.
It's a bit of banter, but like not crossing over into.
But then they still, not, you know, they were still doing the tweets for the whole game. Because like a lot of teams, they might just post, what the full time was. They've done there throughout, and that's how obviously you can find out who scored every single try. And then they're also kind of having fun with it. And I think if you have fun with it, whoever's like, I don't know if it's the subs or if they've got...
Or whether they've got someone dedicated someone just, to it. Someone
like, yeah. But if they're kind of more committed to it, having fun with it, they're also going to want to do it more, especially just to keep you up to date with the actual scores. So it is a pretty good thing. I might give it a follow.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone here give it a follow. I think presumably it's at UON.
It's
Uni
of Notts RL.
You'll be getting Uni of Northampton getting followers if you do that.
Yeah, nobody follow the Uni of Northampton. They're rubbish at rugby, I imagine.
Yes, it's fun, but the thing is, with some of these ones which try to get a bit fun, is that they're actually bad at doing the core of the job, which is actually, you know, having the score updates and keeping it going. So as a result, they'll have a bit of fun, but you can't actually tell what's happening. Yeah. Which is the good thing with this one, where, yeah, it's informative and it keeps you engaged. It's like all these football club ones where it's like, oh yeah, this club has a really funny social media presence.
Yeah, exactly, and it makes you want to follow more. I think the obvious example is probably Roma in the footballing world. You know, they have a really, and Borussia Dortmund as well, they have quite funny social media accounts. It makes you want to follow the club a bit more, and especially at a level where people probably don't follow the results as much, and especially in sport, which is not as popular as rugby league rather than rugby union. I think it's important to maybe get these followers to get people to the games and stuff.
Yeah, I know another really funny account, actually. URN Hangovers.
I was going to ask that later, but why don't we go on to that now? Because that's technically part of, well, it's not part of Bucks, but part of local sporting results, IMS, which, most of the sports have an IMS team that plays. I think we'll be getting on to a few more of the IMS results a bit later, but since Will's brought it up, the URN Hangovers had their first match, proper match of the season. They had a friendly, which went interestingly.
It's never good when that's the adjective.
Yeah. No, we did really well for a lot of that game. You know, some of us scored, some of us did nothing. Will Perkins.
I got 2 assists, man.
No,
I tell you what, this is why we got nominated for that Thursday Sports Show.
Yeah, but
talking about this.
No one else would be bringing you the IMS Hangovers sports results. This is the exclusive place, apart from obviously their Twitter and Instagram page. Which do you want to plug them now?
Oh, at YarNFT on Twitter. So it's good Twitter. Instagram not so much, but
okay. Well, definitely give it a follow on Twitter. Would you like to give us a brief summary of what occurred and the score it was against?
All right, go on then. Up against Cypriot in Greek society, and we drew 1-1 with a last minute equaliser, 10 seconds left on the clock. Own goal from them, absolute scenes.
It was an own goal. I did not know that.
Unbelievable scenes. Which I think we deserved to win anyway, but it would have been very annoying to lose it. But you know, you take the point. You move on to next week, where you might be getting a start. It depends, though. It was a good. Don't know if you get back in the 11 after that.
Oh, mate, that Cypriots. I think last year when I was part of it, we drew with them once, I think, and lost the other time. And when we drew them, it was quite feisty at full time. Did you feel that?
Oh, a few people refused to shake my hands in the half time.
Oh no, that's you hate to see that. You hate to see that.
But yeah, you know, it's just a bit of passion. A bit of passion you like to see on a Wednesday, David Ross.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Well, there we are. You're in Hangovers, starting off with a draw against probably one of the strongest societies in the league, you'd say?
They got into the tournament last year for China, so...
Okay, so yeah.
It's a strong team.
They are a very, very strong team, and as I said, we'll keep you up to date with that. Hopefully on most Thursdays, although podcast possibly coming soon.
Probably in January, when we get more of a confirmed team.
There we go. So for the first part of the season, this is the only place you'll find out with Mr. William Perkins. Well, hopefully he continues doing it every week. Anyway, on to Men's Rugby Union. It was a good week for the Men's Rugby Union this week. All 15, winning their games, with the first 15 winning 21-8, the second 15 winning 52-10, the third 15 winning 46-19, the fourth 15 winning 25-12, and the fifth 15 winning 64-5. So that is a crazy set of results there. And I think it was good for the ones, because they actually, last week, the one scores we couldn't get you either, they actually lost to Trent there, 29-27 at Lady Bay. Last minute point scoring there for Trent, which is, you know, it's always hard to take it at every single level. But the ones and twos actually both beat Trent, 36-19 and 35-7 respectively. So Rugby Union off to a good start.
So they won every game, you say?
Yeah, this week.
Pretty good, that. Especially Rugby Union, especially last year, they were kind of the ones where kind of you get the inconsistencies where every week you look at the scores and we make like 50% win ratio probably, and that was probably the case for the first week when you said obviously lost to Trent. So to get a clean sweep early doors like that is pretty impressive, especially when, as we've all mentioned it many times before, about how obviously Loughborough come back in ahead of us in the summer sports. So we got to make a really good start to the Cup Buck season to get into a good position.
No, I completely agree. I mean, and also what was on show there clearly was defensively they look quite solid, only conceding 37 points in two games, which obviously is very good, and that's something you can build on for the rest of the season. And we'll obviously be giving you those Bucks results as they come in. On to the men's football. I'm not sure really why, but the men's social media accounts and the places where it's easier to find their results, I don't know why it's much easier to find their results. I don't know why the women's are not posting as much. So if you're listening, women's sport in general, please post more
it's
stuff.
It's not us.
Yeah, give us more to us, because we need them.
So the thing is, if they're the ones tweeting them, they'll get more coverage from us talking about them.
Exactly. It's a circle of life, isn't it? The more you tweet, the more we mention you. We can't mention you, Women's Rugby Union or Women's Football, because we don't have your results. So, you know, bear that in mind. We're the best student radio station. Anyway, to the men's football. They also played yesterday. All six teams played yesterday, including the sixth 11, which is an IMS team. They drew 1-1 the first against Derby, which is a solid result. The twos won 4-0 against Coventry's twos. The thirds won 5-1 against De Montfort's seconds. The fours lost 4-2 to Brooksby Melton's ones. And
what?
I've no idea who they are. I've never heard of this university either. The fifths drew 2-2 against Staffordshire University. I didn't know they had a uni. It was Staffordshire's twos, and the sixth 11 drew 1-1 to History Sock. That's going to be a cutting little result. There,
wow.
So there we are. Either the sixth 11 this year is absolutely terrible, or History Sock. Damn, they must have some good players in their team.
They're actually a good team, to be fair, 11 aside. History Sock, they usually get to the quarterfinal.
It's a pretty big course
as well.
So you'll have a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a huge course, but still drawing to the sixth 11? I mean, you'd expect them to win every week. But I think what I take away from that result is the threes downwards are all playing and competing with other universities' ones and twos. And I think that probably shows how good we are as a university, that we can compete with, obviously not the biggest universities in Brooksby Mountain and Staffordshire, but De Montfort are a reasonably big university with a decent sporting prowess, and we managed to beat their twos 5-1. So I think that probably shows, we've got a bit of fight, a bit of desire, and we can compete with other universities' top teams, and probably shows our coaching level a bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, it shows, obviously the depth we've got, and you might say, there was a kind of thingy fairness last year when you saw those current results, and obviously they did lose, didn't they, to the ones they're playing, the fourth source, the ones, is it?
Yeah, they did.
But so you say, they're against the ones, and you've got to say fair play to that. But then you've also got to say, look at it and think, they've been put in that league for a reason. It's for their quality kind of thing. They can compete with these teams. So you've got to see, maybe they can actually do a bit better in those games and try and get the win, because if they're putting in there, they obviously got that depth, they're in the same standard, so they should be trying to compete against them. But it definitely does show how we, as a university, we've got that kind of depth to compete against higher up teams.
Yeah, completely. And obviously, I think the advantage that you get with your ones as well is that team usually doesn't consist of any freshers whatsoever, whereas the fours are more likely to consist of freshers, a really new, pretty much new team. So they're just going to take a little bit more bedding in. So I think losing narrowly 4-2 is a reasonably positive result, even though it was at home.
Yeah, because, especially obviously conceding four, that's defence stability obviously comes along with games. If you've got a few new players in that back four kind of thing, it's going to take time to gel. So, they scored two, though, so it shows they've got a bit of talent going forward. So once they kind of iron that out, maybe it will be a bit more successful side.
Yeah, hopefully it will. And I think we'll move on there to the men's hockey results. We've got last Wednesday's, the 5th of October. I think that might be Saturday, actually, the 5th of October. Yeah. The Ones beat Loughborough 3-0. Oh, no, my bad. They lost to them 3-0.
Oh.
I read that off for a second. I was like, yes. But unfortunately, no, they lost them 3-0, clearly showing some early superiority there for Loughborough, which is just a shame for them. But obviously, we know they're a tremendous side in all sports, so nothing wrong with losing to Loughborough there. The twos against Sutton Coldfield beat them 6-1. The threes versus Ashby beat them 8-3, as in for both of those, our team won. Now, the fours play the university again, I've never heard of. Ram Gahia University, they beat them 1-0, which is from... I'll give you 2 seconds at home to guess where they're from. Derby. They're from Derby.
Oh, Derby.
God, the tension in that little reveal. And yesterday, only the threes and the fours play. And we narrowly lost to Loughborough. Again, the threes lost to Loughborough. But this time, 3-2. So...
Close.
And the fours against Birmingham beat them 3-1 in a red, slightly routine victory. The two losses to Loughborough there. Then, they're getting an early lead already. Is that a bad thing for the table? Or is it too early to tell?
Well, a lot of these teams haven't started yet either, so that can make a big difference. Where some of our better teams haven't started yet.
Yeah. So, not every team played this week.
Well, the thing with it is, it's kind of these games against, your Loughborough's, Edinburgh, Durham, kind of call it a 6-pointer kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you can kind of try and win those games, it just makes the points difference huge. When obviously losing, I think Loughborough maybe, as we've kind of discussed, is a step too far. But when we play against the Durhams and the Edinburghs that are behind us, if we can kind of win those games, it kind of relieves that pressure and creates a bit of a points gap. Which I don't know if we've played any of them this week, but in any of sports. But if we can do that, that's how you can kind of get a big big lead early on and trying to avoid defeat to them.
Yeah, completely. I mean, on Edinburgh, the fencing was next, and the women's ones actually lost against the league favourites in Edinburgh, 108-130, which is a gutting defeat for them because it's such a, you know, well, a reasonably small margin, and losing out to the favourites in Edinburgh is not good. And then they subsequently lost 112-114 in a hugely gutting loss to St Andrews. But they had four debutants in that game. You know, they're still getting to grips with the team. But, you know, fencing as a single sport, probably they don't need too much bedding in, but maybe
that's
more
just,
mentally.
That's one where, like, you need to, because I guess it's one of these where it's like tennis where you have your one, your two, your three, your four. So you got to calibrate who's where is what you really need to do.
Yeah, obviously if they're new coming in, you're not seeing too much of them. You don't know if they should be up in a team or down in the plane, or, you know, someone they've been putting too high division or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of thing. It's very early on, obviously, first few weeks, and I think in the next few weeks it'll kind of settle down and we can have a better idea of kind of what's going on with the rest of the kind of season.
Yeah, I mean, just to show that this is ridiculously high quality, cause sometimes you can get sort of lost in the numbers a little bit and think, you know, this is like school levels, but no. Three members of the UM fencing team in Nathan Foster, Billy Shepherd and Dylan Ballard were named in the Millett Hallett Senior Epi. Nathan Foster coming 12th, Shepherd coming 17th and Dylan Ballard coming 29th, and that's something that's, yeah, very respectable in the fencing world. And also UON fencing scholar Stefano Lucchetti got a silver medal the other day. I think it's the 6th of October, so that would have been on Monday? Monday. Sunday or something. Anyway,
Sunday. Just Sunday. Pick it all up, it was Sunday.
On Sunday, picked up a silver medal at the FIE Satellite International tournament in Reykjavik. So that's not half bad, is it?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so, you know, he probably wouldn't have come in and played, well, definitely not for the women's, but you know what I mean. Moving on to badminton, we're almost through the results now. A standard win for you, and we are dominant in sports like badminton. And this was actually last Wednesday, 2nd of October, grabbed themselves an 8-0 victory away against Newcastle's first team. And, yeah, 8-0.
That's the good thing there, where it's getting the nil, where it's getting. Not just going, you're not giving any up.
Yeah.
It's not like 6-2, 7-1.
I've watched that badminton team. They do not give anything up whatsoever. They are absolutely ruthless when it comes to scoring. On to more racket sports, which is traditionally what Nottingham are really good at. And the Premier Squash League, their first win of the season on the 1st of October for the squash team against Northumberland University, and they got a 3-2 win there, so a good win for them. The scholars getting in action at the Euro at David Ross. Now, news, because we don't have any more results, but there has been more news in the UON Bucks arena. Dr. Deng Yaping has been visiting the table tennis team yesterday, I believe. She's a four-time Olympic gold medalist and UON alumni, I am told. So that's crazy, isn't it? That we have a four-time Olympic gold medalist that was a scholar at a university.
Well, I think that you could potentially, with obviously we mentioned badminton, but table tennis
is our
highest points as well.
Yeah, true.
And we've got some really like high-quality players there, so there could be future Olympic medalists in that team right now.
With that, she supports the scholarship program, and so currently four of the scholars we have to help tennis are sponsored by her, so that can only help in terms of the quality of the people you're getting who sort of come across her attention.
Yeah, exactly. And even just a day like this, you know, a medalist like that can probably give you tips, ways to, you know, improve your training regime, etc., etc., you know. It's just an incredible thing for UN to probably to boast, to be honest, and just adding to our collection of unbelievable sports stars.
I think we have, I can't remember her name, but we have, if she's graduating now last year, but last year we had a person who I think was named like TT or something.
Tintin, I think.
Oh, yeah, because apparently, that's what I heard. Her dad just loved table tennis, so it was named after that. TT for table tennis.
And we also had a Commonwealth Games competitor.
And now she's obviously an amazing table tennis player herself, but yeah, just an interesting little fact for you.
No, that is a cool little fact. I mean, born to do what she does. Or he, she?
She.
She does to do what she wants, so that's incredible for her. Yeah, so table tennis, expect more.
Good things.
Yeah, just good things. In a sport that maybe we wouldn't associate too much with the event, netball news. Obviously, they played this week. They were the Bucks Trophy champions last season. That's always good for them, but we don't have the results. So, yeah, sorry for mentioning that. But we do have better news. Aisling Sullivan Sweeney has been named in the Ireland squad for the upcoming Nations Cup in Singapore, which is absolutely crazy for her. So we wish her luck in the Nations Cup, yeah, even though it is for Ireland. And Ali...
don't congratulate her if it's Ireland. I mean,
only Ireland. God, tell us when you've been called up to England. Ali Housley has also been in the WASP squad for the upcoming Fast Five All Stars netball tournament on October the 12th, which is when it's sort of like a Super League where the top, even though it's called Five All Stars, it's actually the top eight teams in the country come and they have a tournament. So congratulations to her. For that, and that's all the news we have for Bucks this week. I've been in contact with those associated with giving us the Bucks results. They should be in next week in full, so we should be able to go through them next week in full. Hopefully, we'll be able to go through them a bit quicker because I am a bit conscious that it did take us, I think, 27 minutes or so to get through that. So I hope you're still listening. After the break, we'll be talking about mental health in sport. Welcome back to the Thursday Sports Show. We were talking about Bucks results earlier, but now we are going to move on to Mental Health Awareness Day, which is something I think that is, you know, something we always have to bring up. It's something that affects, you know, millions of people around the world and is often very close to home for a lot of people. So, obviously this is a sensitive subject, so I'm trying to steer away from anything too sensitive. I'd just like to say, we've all played sport. What do we think are the pressures that may lead to, well, not necessarily lead to mental health issues, but sort of make them worse, such as stress, anxiety, stuff like that. Is there anything that we've experienced in that terms whilst playing sport? Because obviously this is a sports show.
I feel very experienced because it obviously not at the highest level. We don't quite get that. But
you're saying that you're on hangovers, you know?
Oh, well, to be fair.
The anxiety.
I was thinking about that game for a whole week before, just like
really?
in my head, just like waiting for it. But yeah, no, but definitely for, you know, maybe players for like the uni Buck teams, if they're in like the first or they're trying to get in the team, it's a lot of stress to do that, especially when you think like, obviously like the trial days of football, I don't know how many turn up, loads, and then there's only like 10 spaces or something for freshers, they say. Like, that's a lot of pressure. And people, like, you don't get in, you don't get picked, you might be a setback. It's gonna kind of affect you if that's, like, obviously everyone, you probably love the sport if you're kind of going for it. So it definitely will be affected. And obviously, and the higher levels as well, when you get to championships or Premier League with all, like, the social media stuff and things like that. It can be, yeah.
It's like, particularly when you think about, for students particularly, when you've got how many hours of the week they might have to spend on their sport. So it's the mental toll of juggling your course, your sport, and any sort of life beyond that can lead to you completely neglecting one or the other or just getting overwhelmed. So that's the other risk that is with, even at this level.
No, completely, completely. I think it goes down to all levels. I mean, you know, I'm not, it's impossible, you know, people even at the Sunday League level, if you're feeling the stress, you know, some people have some really harsh coaches, etc., you can definitely feel the stress and anxiety if you're someone that feels that especially. But I want to go back to maybe more what Will said, because what I was thinking is that IMS, as much as it is great, it's not in every sport. So if you play something a bit niche like ice hockey or even something like rugby league, there aren't really IMS teams for that. And so if you don't make it into the team, you suddenly have to stop a sport that you've probably been playing for 10 years plus. And that must be very mentally, it must take its toll really badly.
Well, particularly for one of these ones where you can't just sort of be there for where you can't just do training, essentially, where you get some of these sports where you might not be in the team proper, but you can still like go to all the training sessions and stuff like that. And they So then you can still connect to it a bit with that. But yeah, like when it's something where they will just be like, no, you can't do it. And there's no IMS.
Oh, also, if that is the case, that's like just exercising from playing the game. That's like not doing an exercise suddenly can make you obviously not feel as good when you kind of just yourself and you get mentally as well. So it can be tough, because obviously I still play football. You've been playing it so long, and obviously next year I'll be graduated. Maybe I won't have a team, kind of things like that, and it's going to be hard to adjust. So for people that do like have these sports, they might not have opportunity to. It'd be tough because like just playing football, like, that's a massive part of my uni is the football. Obviously radio as well, but just the football every week. And obviously if you're in an actual Bucks team as well, that's going to be a massive part. So then if you kind of had that anticipation and you don't get in the team and you can't do it for some reason, same thing if you get injuries or something like that, it can be kind of tough for you.
Well, that's sort of getting onto the other issue, where it's a case of when people have been doing Bucks for 3 or 4 years, or if they're doing postgrad, you can do it for even longer, and then leave university.
Yeah.
So that can then be the same thing, where it's a giant part of your life that just goes.
Yeah, completely. I think what we probably need to highlight is there's so many places out there if you do need help, if you're struggling at all. I mean, if you're at uni, we've got things like Nightline. There's a men's active health group at UN at the moment. So you can always, if you're a man and you're struggling sports-wise, there's always start help there. You know, even outside, there are various numbers that you can call that we probably should have looked up. But
I think they were talking about on the polls earlier, because they asked me to say something about it. So I don't know if they obviously mentioned it on there. And I think they might probably clip something and put it on Facebook, which will probably have more better information than we're now telling you. But yeah.
Yeah, and obviously today, I think, is trending among sports stars is always is asked twice. So if you're ever asking your friend, are you okay? And they come back and say yes, always make sure you ask twice, because, you know, even your friends are less likely to say, no, I'm not, the first time round.
So because it's almost an automatic response. Right?
Exactly. So we definitely recommend that. And to mark the day, Prince Harry has actually come to Nottingham to talk to some school kids. I just thought that was an interesting piece of news for mental health. So clearly it shows our strides as a society towards mental health, that, you know, the royals and stuff are getting involved, they, you know, getting their hands dirty, etc. I'm going to link this back to local sports and try, this is, you know, this isn't the happiest, you know, the day in terms of, but this is something that needs to be done. Nottingham Forest to put out a press release of sorts about mental health issues, and they have taken a stand today, which they have been for a while, but they're making it sort of concrete that they are making a stand against cyberbullying and cyber abuse on Twitter, Facebook, going against trolls, etc. And if you do any of this, even once, they're not going to let you in to buy tickets to the Sea Ground. What do we make of that news?
It's good work, because I mean, it was always where it's with a league that's had a lot of issues with this recently, shall we say. It was pretty good the other week where the team we were talking about earlier, the Roma Twitter account, I'm not sure where they named, but they shamed the fan and said, like, you're banned for life. So it's actually being proactive and taking those steps, saying, we can see you're trolling or putting this abusive stuff. We're just going to say no. We're not going to leave it to any sort of higher body, sort of the FA or anyone like that. We're just going to say no ourselves. Is a good way of preemptively doing it, like what Forest are doing here.
Yeah, completely. Do you think, you said Roma there, but I doubt there's too many examples. Do you think this is something that's maybe a bit overlooked by football clubs?
It's something that would be quite easy for them to actually do a lot of the time, because the other thing is, because these people aren't exactly shy about who they are. Yeah. Not many of them are doing it from anonymous accounts, so you can quite easily have repercussions for it.
Well, it's this thing, you see it on Twitter or whatever, you just like abusing it, but then if that player or whatever then scores a goal, they're all just like celebrating him. So it's just like, it's like they flick a switch, it's just like easy for them to do it, and it's just like there's no need. Like, what is your comment doing that? Is that going to help? It's not going to help, is it? Like,
yeah.
So I think, so you obviously bring in those bans is pretty good, and it shows it's a good step, because you obviously they're not selling out every seat, so it's a pretty good step for them to think, you know what, it doesn't matter if we don't get an extra ticket sold or whatever.
It makes it more of a choice. It's more of a choice than sort of, it's easy to do that, yeah, if it's like, okay, we're guaranteed to sell it, we've got like 20 year long waiting list for season tickets, that kind of thing. But when it's this, yeah, it's actually a statement.
Yeah, completely. I mean, they've also said that they are capping games for fans. They know they have more people that want to come than they actually have seats sometimes. But the fact that they, as you said, they are turning away people even when they don't sell out, it's a good stance that I think other clubs should definitely adopt, because I don't think cyber abuse and cyber bullying is something that in the sporting realm people really take into account. It's more because it's so easy, I think. You ask why do people do it, I think it's just so easy when you're in an argument. You see it all the time, football fans, rugby fans, whoever fans, get in an argument with each other, and then one or just go way too far because they can. It's so easy to
just
type.
Like, look at their profile picture and have a go at their appearance. Is that
or, well? It's, or it's even more simple than that. They just type the two words, like, sorry if this is triggering at all. This is a warning for that. You know, just kill yourself or something. Like, that's so easy to write, but you don't understand
the effect. Sometimes you're saying it's the wrong person,
essentially. Yeah, but you don't know what their circumstances are. You don't know what their family situation is. You don't know anything about them. So I just, you know, if you are a type of person that will abuse someone anonymously, just think from the air point of view, would you be able to... I think a best way to say this is maybe... At the worst low of your life, we've all had them. How bad would that message make you feel? Because I think you've always got to assume online they are going through the worst possible time that they can be.
Well, so yeah, you got to think like they could be having a really bad day, bad news or something, and that one message it's just like not going to help, is it? So it's just there's no real need for any like his tweets. It's not exactly. You're not going to make a name for yourself. Sure, doing it for like a good reason, so I don't know why.
Yeah. And a lot of them is you see afterwards, they're sort of like, oh, I've got them rustled or something like that. And so it's trying to point score doing it like that when it's particularly when it's sort of just saying, and it acts almost as get out of jail free. It's sort of saying, I'm not racist or I'm not whatever kind of bigotry they've put out there. It's I'm trying to get a rise out of this person, which when that's part of the problem with social media, where it's you have all these fan bases that can get to each other. So it's not like before with Arsenal fans or Man United fans or with Forest fans and even Derby fans, where you wouldn't necessarily be able to talk to any of them.
Yeah.
So you could say whatever you wanted about them as people.
Yeah, completely. Because you don't see the consequences, do you? And it's just too easy at the moment. I think we are seeing Twitter and Facebook and stuff trying to stamp down on this by trying to make authenticating accounts.
Which would do nothing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But at least
it would do more harm than good.
Yeah. But at least they're trying, they're sort of stepping in the right direction, which is what this day is all about, in my personal opinion, is trying to make steps towards, you know, protecting these people, making sure that you're not experiencing this kind of abuse, whether it's in person or online. Well, I'm going to open it up to the floor just quickly. Is there anything anyone else would like to say on mental health? Obviously, is this anything anyone wants to say at all?
I mean, the simple one, this is... Stay looking out for the next episode, for the next issue of Impact, because it is because the theme is health and well-being, and I know there are at least a couple of articles related to this in sport in the next issue.
No, completely. I'm obviously we are somewhat rivals, but you know this sort of
issue, I'm here.
Yeah, this sort of issue transcends that type of thing. We're going to move on then from mental health awareness. It was covered extensively, I know for a fact, on the Pulse today. So if you want to know anything else, please listen to that. It'll be on Audio Boom, same as where this will be going out. Nottingham Forest news again. There's been, in the newspaper today actually, I was looking at the local Nottingham news, there have been reports from Nottingham Forest, they've been sending their membership emails about certain chants that they've been singing. In fact, one in particular, a chant that they view as sexist, and it starts with "Oh Nottingham, it's full of fun." If you know that chant, it references there are three good things in Nottingham: one's Forest, and one is obviously referencing the fact that there are often more women than there are men in Nottingham. So you can sort of infer what you like from there.
Fact? I didn't know that was a. Is that a fact? There's more women than.
I don't know. That's just an old wives' tale. One of those things that people sort of. That's the problem sometimes with the chants, is it just sort of puts in stereotypes pretty much. Yeah. And what really hit home for me in this article was that the board of directors that sent this was a woman, and she was there with her sister, and they were at the Emirates to watch the Arsenal Forest game, and they saw an 8-year-old Forest fan singing this chant, And it's sort of one of those things where, obviously, this little boy does not understand at all what this chant is about, and it is so degrading often to women. And I think this is probably a good step, I think, in terms of inclusivity within football grounds. We all like the camaraderie, we all like the togetherness of being in a football stadium, but that doesn't mean excluding a certain amount of people, because I know it can become a bit laddie, a bit much, especially when everyone's rowdy and a bit drunk. But I think we think this is all right step in terms of inclusivity within stadiums.
Well, you got to also look at, it is definitely right step, but like when you got to think of what, like, I, you know, the kids go with their dad or granddad, whoever it is, you got to look at them. They should be the ones like telling them not to. You see it all the time, not just chants, but like whenever a player goes to get a ball or does something, gives it a corner, and you see in the crowd everyone giving him like all sorts of hand gestures. And obviously the kids are there as well doing it as well.
So much of it is that it gets normalised by being in that situation. So it's with those kind of things. So whether it's sort of verbal or signs, abuse, you see it gets normalised for the kids, but then it's also, it's when it comes to stuff like sexist stuff or like racist chanting or even stuff. So even things like with the one which was defended as being positive, but with Romelu Lukaku with United
fans.
That's
exactly
what I was thinking. But it's promoting those sort of negative stereotypes and I'm normalising it, because it might be the only time you hear about it as a kid.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I was looking up today. There are at least 80 Nottingham Forest chants. So I think one off that.
You can kind of you can lose one and it won't be the end of the world.
Lose one that is very old-fashioned, not really needed. Just think up a new one. I'm sure it wouldn't take that long to make a chant. And as long as it's catchy, I'm sure a lot of people would start singing it anyway. So I think we can all condone the actions of Nottingham Forest here. They are taking a step in the right direction in terms of trying to get more inclusivity within games, because we know when we look at the stats of who's been at the games, there aren't a lot of women, even though there are a lot of women interested in football. And I congratulate them and encourage their behaviour at the moment. So that's two things so far that Nottingham Forest have done well, and the steps in the right direction for them. They're doing the things behind the scenes, even though they're going through things on the football pitch, which are obviously very important. They're making it a more rounded club for me.
Well, they're doing well off the pitch and on the pitch.
Welcome back to the Thursday Sports Show. I said we were going to talk about Nottingham Forest before the break, but I think we've talked a little bit too much about them now. So on to a bit of Notts County news. And I haven't told anyone this, so I'm hoping it'll be a little bit of a surprise, although knowing Callum, he'll probably already know, even though it was literally just today that it was announced. Gerard Piquet wanted to buy Notts County in the summer, according to a report in The Athletic.
He seems like he's wanting to get a club, because there's another one that he's sort of in talks with or something, or like people involved in him in talks with.
He wanted like one of the second division Spanish teams, I saw.
Yeah, something like that, where he's involved in a team like that.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah. Apparently he was drawn in by the fact that they're the world's oldest professional club, and he wanted to promote homegrown talent. That is what was reported today.
He's still getting a few loanies off Barca.
You know, the Barca Academy as well in the conference. Wow. These cultured Spanish players playing in like the muddiest, boggiest pitches. That would have been quite funny. The report claims that he was in previous talks with owner Alan Hardy, but due to the fact that Notts County went under extreme financial pressure quite quickly due to an unpaid tax bill, Hardy had to accept a quicker offer from the current owners, Christopher and Reed, at the end of July. So I think it would have been, you know, it's one of those things that could have been.
It could have worked, it could have not worked. Right?
Yeah, it's a bit interesting with when a player owns a club as well. It's something that's a bit weird. And I think it shows players now are more of a business than they've ever been. Mm. Like 10 years ago, this was not something that's going to be happening. We've heard the Ronaldo phenomeno.
He owns part of Mallorca, I think.
Yeah, which I think, are they in the first division?
Yeah, and they're doing pretty. He's done a good job there, surprisingly enough.
I think of it is, though,
because he's been a smart businessman the whole time.
Yeah,
I think PK also does the tennis tournament. He kind of is manages the control some part as well. So they are all kind of getting in, and it's weird. Obviously, it's interesting because you see all the players with their clothing brand deals as well, like Lingard, Ali, people like that. It's like fair enough if you're doing it, but like, you got so much money, just focus on your football.
Well,
like,
well, and I mean, then maybe a lot of it, they're not actually having to put much active effort in.
No, and when I say PK,
it's just
I
their
mean,
face kind of thing.
Well, no, it's sort of like they company. Can yeah. be as involved as much as they want to be, and it's almost good because so much of it, compared to before, is this. There is a more productive use of the time than going down the pub, which is what a lot of players used to. Which is what a lot of players used to do. It's always where they get a lot of backlash for anything not related to football, because we can see it now.
True.
Whereas before we couldn't see what the players were doing in their spare time.
I think it is shrewd in the fact that they've got a career for 15-20 years.
Mm.
Why wouldn't they, when they were at the peak of their career, fame, money, why would they not try and reinvest that in a company or in back, at least it's back into football rather than say a clothing brand or something. You know, it's back into a very old, you know, a great club which could make them rise again. So I think in that way it's surely a good thing to get more, try and maybe pump a little bit of money into the bottom division, although it didn't really sound like he was going to put much money in.
But even then, it wouldn't necessarily, there's limits to how much you could put in, but it wouldn't have taken much to get it stable.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? Very quickly then, Notts County, by the way, won at the weekend. So they're on a little bit of a streak, actually. Trying propelling themselves into the playoffs there. Hopefully they will get promoted. Right, very quickly, because actually this is interesting, I thought, is that ex-Nottingham Forest legend, in air quotes, I think probably maybe a legend, he wasn't there for too long, Roy Keane, who's ex-manager and ex-assistant manager, linked with the Millwall job. And this is Nottingham based. He is the second favourite at 4-1 with Gary Rowett evens to take over. What do we make of this? How does he keep getting jobs?
I think it's unlikely because it just seems like it's always where he seems to be going into football. Not him, obviously, but he's going into coverage a bit more. He's going it being on Sky a lot. So it's always where it feels like he's going to go one or two ways where he's going to actually start doing management proper again or just go into that like Gary Neville.
Well, I saw one of those shows and they asked him, he said he wanted to get back in and he said he's learned from his and won't kind of act like that again, but I don't know if you can kind of
but
trust
it's Roy
him.
Keane, he's done.
Yeah,
he's
managed like better him, really.
If we are talking stereotypes as well, Millwall and Roy Keane is probably
a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And they do relatively still play like the stereotype to a degree. Mm.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, he may not get the job, as we said. Gary Rowett is evens to take over. But I just think, is he too? He's too old school. I think he's well, too.
He doesn't 90s. Know much.
Yeah,
it's ways where it seems like he is of the increasingly misguided opinion that it's all about effort levels and stuff like that.
Yeah,
which if you can't actually set up, the team don't matter.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that gets very frustrated when you're not as good as he was when he was one of the greatest Premier League players of all time. That's all we've got time for, unfortunately. So I'll give you a little teaser to what's going to be happening next week, hopefully. Will be on that, but I've got a little bit more, which I'll probably send him. Where would Nottingham Forest be in the table if it was based on expected goals? It's probably not what you'd think. They're one of the biggest movers in terms of the difference in positions. So stay tuned next week at the same time to find out about that. But now it's thanks to Will and to Callum for coming on the Thursday Sports Show.